I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. During the entire 30 years I've known Barclay Reeves, he's been interested in American history, which is understandable as his ancestors were an integral part of it. We met, Barclay says, while he was painting the shutters at Castle Hill, his family's ancestral hangout in Albemarle County. Over the centuries, according to Barclay, his family's had a bit of a riches-to-rags trajectory. But still, he grew up so entertained by family history that it inspired him to spend 2 decades, in between blacksmithing, tinsmithing, and other wordsmithing projects, to produce A Country to Serve, his biography of ancestor William Cabell Reeves, born 1793, died 1868. So I said to Barclay, "You've got lots of interesting ancestors. Why this particular one?"
William Cabell Reeves is my great-great-great-grandfather. My older brother, who was in the top bunk when we were children, I know him as Billy, but his christened name is William Cabell Reeves. We had this lithograph, which is by a Swiss artist named Carl Fenderick, and his most famous speech, he was declining to follow orders given by President Martin Van Buren and Democratic Party leaders.
Now, William Cabell Reeves.
This is right. William Cabell Reeves, the subject of the biography, not my brother. The lithograph has at the bottom the words from his speech where he says, "I cannot forget that I have a country to serve as well as a party to obey." So as a child, I would wake up on the bottom bunk, and when I opened my eyes and looked across the room, there was the William Cabell Reeves lithograph looking at me, and I would say to myself, well, these are highfalutin words, but what was the issue? What was he talking about? I was the youngest of 4 brothers, and I would accompany my parents to family funerals, or when my brothers had gone off to school and college, my parents were through with babysitters, and they would just bring me along. And so people in my parents' generation would talk to me about family and about history and about ancestors, and they would say, "Oh, but you're too young to be interested in this," when I was 9, 10, 11, 12. And I would say, "No, I'm not. I am interested." So it started early with me. William Cabell Reeves, he was a political leader. He was a diplomat. He was also an agriculturalist in the tradition of Madison and Jefferson. And a sporting historian named Alexander McKay Smith, he wrote several books on horses in America, as well as fox hunting. He wrote a letter to my mother, along with some information about William Cabell Reeves, in the 70s, I think that I was still in college. And he said, "Well, dear Mary Jo, you ought to show this to your son, Barclay, if he's interested in writing about his ancestor, because his contributions to the country as an agriculturalist are even greater than his contributions as a statesman." So there it is in this letter that my mother and Alexander McKay Smith knew I was writing this book even before I did. There's a lot of praise for William Cabell Reeves and the family genealogies. These are very thick Manhattan phone book length genealogies, but they don't really explain who he is. A biographer of James Madison named Drew McCoy, in a book written in the 1980s called The Last of the Fathers, he writes a chapter on William Cabell Reeves as one of Madison's most promising proteges. And he said that there is no full-length biography of William Cabell Reeves is a remarkable lacuna in American antebellum history. So I said, well, it's time to remedy that.
How did you organize this massive material into such a good, readable narrative?
Oh, well, that was my aim, to make it readable. There were a lot of things about his life where I would say, well, is that essential to the story I want to tell? No, It's got to go. But I had several eminent scholars who advised me on this. The one that I'm most grateful to is University of Virginia history professor Gary Gallagher. He makes an annual appearance at the Charlottesville Civil War Roundtable. So I talked to him about this book, and his advice was try as much as you can to make it about 200 pages. It's 350. And he said, just tell what the guy's about. He said, you don't want to burden everyone with too much information. The chapters came into mind, and so I had big fat folders, and I have enough space in my living room where I would spread out these copies of letters and these notes. Then I would sort of patch these things together. But writing was a joy. I guess a lot of historians say that research is the fun part and writing is grueling. I would wake up every morning and say, oh, goody, I can't wait to get to that desk and to tell this story, which I think is so compelling. And I think it relates to our present day, and that some people who give it some time will be interested in.
What was making you go, oh, yippee, I get to write today?
Well, I'm going to go off on a real tangent. When I was a senior in college, I'm a member of the Harvard class of 76, along with cellist Yo-Yo Ma and Chief Justice John Roberts. There's a professor named Richard Schultes, who taught a great course, legendary course, called Plants and Human Affairs. So I didn't take the course, but I audited it. So one of the lectures was about the peyote hunt of the Huicholi Indians, a tribe in somewhere in Mexico. And this was in 1975. I was listening to this. They trek across miles of uncharted desert, hundreds of miles, to a spot that was sacred to their ancestors where peyote buttons grow. And Richard Schultes, he had slides of this. He was able to ingratiate himself with the tribe. And he said that the couple of days of ritual and hallucinations, these people would not talk to their ancestors. They would become their ancestors. And they would relive the great moments in thousands of years of their history, and they would re-experience them. Well, I identified with William Cabell Reeves. I'm not a Huicholi Indian. I do know when I really decided that I was going to start writing. I was researching, and I didn't know that it was going to be a straight-out biography. So it was in 2011. I was in Boston, Massachusetts, visiting a wonderful cousin named Frank Moore, who had the William Cabell Reeves lithograph on the wall. It's ubiquitous. Frank, I said, what was this country to serve, quote? What was he talking about? He said, something about the bank, but I'm not really sure. So my wife, Aggie, and I, when we walked out on the street from his house, and I said, Aggie, the book is going to be entitled A Country to Serve.
A bit more of my conversation with Barclay Reeves, along with pictures and links relevant to A Country to Serve, his biography of ancestor William Cabell Reeves, including an Amazon link that will let you read a chapter, are on the Spark page at WMRA.org.